Well, good morning, everybody. It is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm so excited to preach today. I tell you what, we've been building up to Pentecost. Many of you have joined us online praying 10 days up to this day, Pentecost, and we've just had some great times, great prayer times, and I hope you were able to join in on some of that. Anyhow, today is Pentecost, so I want to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And if I were to ask, do you need power in your Christian walk? What would your response be? Do you need power in your Christian walk? Is your Christianity dull and dry and void of power? Or are your prayers seeming like they only go to the ceiling and they go no further than that? Well, I have some good news for you today. God has already given all the power you need to live a victorious Christian life, all the power you need to do the works that Jesus did while he was on earth. So let's talk about it today. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, talking about the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was what the apostles had been praying 10 days for in the upper room, the promise of the Father, the Comforter that Jesus had promised in the book of John. So first let's look at why the Holy Spirit came. Why did Jesus send the Spirit in this manner? Why has the Spirit come? And I'm going to focus on two things really today. The Spirit comes to make us bold witnesses and to empower us to do mighty acts. Okay, the Spirit comes to make us bold witnesses and to empower us to do mighty acts. But first of all, let's look at Jesus. Jesus was a man, and we know he was the Son of God, and we figure all that out, okay? But we first see him as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit who does great miracles and signs and wonders. He operated as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when he commanded his disciples to go to the upper room, he's commanding them to go and wait for the same power to come upon them that he had on himself when he was walking the earth and doing his ministry. So to be able to do the same works that Jesus did, they would have to have the same power that Jesus did. And to do the same works that Jesus did, you and I will have to have the same power that he did. So I know Jesus was the Son of God, and some people say, well, he did all these miracles because he was God walking around in flesh. Well, he was God walking around in flesh, but the way I understand it is that he was a man anointed of the Spirit, and he did miracles, signs, and wonders by that anointing that was on his life. Notice the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 3, Jesus shows up at the River Jordan. John the Baptist is baptizing people. Jesus walks up and asks John the Baptist to baptize him. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, and the Bible says he comes up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove, Luke says. Now, the next thing, Luke chapter 4, says Jesus was led then by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then he came out, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, full of the Holy Spirit. And he goes into the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He walks into the synagogue and he stands up and he reads this passage from Isaiah, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal or to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." So Jesus has come and fulfilled these words of Isaiah that he was the one anointed of the Holy Spirit to do these mighty acts. Okay? So follow this. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit came upon him at his baptism. He was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He came out full of the Holy Spirit, and then he proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We see in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, that there was one brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. Bible says he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" Which was a code word for the coming Messiah. And now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." And he says, "If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself." In other words, guys, I'm not casting out demons by the power of Satan himself. That would be ridiculous. But then Jesus says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." He's saying, "I cast out spirits by the Spirit of God. I cast out demons and perform miracles because I am a man anointed of the Holy Spirit." So if we want to do the works Jesus did, we're going to need the same power Jesus had. If we want to do the works Jesus did, we need the same power Jesus had. So why did the Holy Spirit come? First of all, the Holy Spirit came to make us witnesses. The Bible says in Acts 1:9, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus is telling them, "My presence is coming, the Holy Spirit is coming, and it will cause you to be powerful witnesses, powerful preachers, powerful missionaries." Just think about the life of Peter. Peter was one who had denied the Lord three times on the evening of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. And then after that, he sees the risen Lord, and he has this repentance moment. He goes out, weeps bitterly, the Bible says. Then later he sees the Lord. And then after seeing the Lord, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then after seeing the resurrected Lord, being filled with the Spirit, Peter is the one who stands up after being filled with the Spirit in Acts 2. He's the one who stands up and begins to proclaim Jesus was crucified and now he's risen from the dead. Peter was transformed into someone who was ducking and hiding from the Roman authorities or from the Jewish Sanhedrin to one now who is so bold that he stands up in Acts chapters 3 and 4 and speaks right to the Sanhedrin and points his finger at them, so to speak, and says, "You are the ones who crucified the Lord of glory." What caused him to have such a transformation? What caused him to become such a bold preacher? It was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd and said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you and listen carefully to what I say." He's the one who's been empowered with the Spirit. Think about Philip. We encounter this guy, Philip, in Acts chapter 6. The Bible said he was one of seven men who were chosen to be servants or deacons in the early church. But then after persecution hit the Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 8, Philip is cast out of the city, as many of the other apostles were, and he goes down to Samaria. And there he doesn't look like just a servant anymore, but he says he goes down to Samaria and proclaims Jesus there, so much so that the lame are healed, demons are cast out, miracles happen, and people accept Christ. There was great revival that happened. What transformed this young guy from just being a servant into the church to being a powerful, miracle-working evangelist? It had to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit on him. Many times in the book of Acts, we see a statement something like this, like Acts chapter 4 with Peter, where it says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Filled with the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit comes to fill your mouth and to give you words to say. He comes to empower you to be a witness. I remember when I was very young, I was so shy. I was shy growing up. I had a hard time speaking to people in public. And I remember I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, I was just studying the Word. And I became hungry for the Word and understanding the things of God. And then one night in church, I stood up and I was going to sing a song and play my guitar. And as I got ready to do that, man, something hit me. The power of God hit me. And I began preaching. My pastor came up behind me and took the guitar off of my shoulder, and I grabbed the microphone and ran down into the front at the altar area and began preaching. And later my pastor told me, he said, Hans, I've never heard you raise your voice like that before. Something happened to me that night. Something fell upon me, exploded within me, have you? And it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's why preaching isn't just public speaking. It has to be anointed with the Holy Spirit before it does any good. So the Spirit comes to empower you to speak and empower you to be a witness. Jesus even told his disciples, he said, you're going to be arrested by the authorities and you're going to be brought before their councils. But he said, don't worry about what to say. Because in the very hour that you need it, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words to say. And that should be an encouragement to some of you today. You're wondering, how can I witness to my neighbor? Or how can I witness to a friend or a loved one? Or, well, I have to speak somewhere and I don't know what to say. Listen, ask the Holy Spirit to come and give you the words. And in the time you need them, Holy Spirit will come and give you the very thing you're to say. Can somebody shout amen out there today? Hallelujah. The second thing the Spirit comes to do is the Spirit comes to empower His people to do mighty works. The Spirit comes to empower His people to do mighty works. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, He said, they will drive out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Hallelujah. Acts 2:43, the Bible says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Acts chapter 6:8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs down in Samaria among the people. Can you believe that? Or in Jerusalem, among the people, great signs and wonders. That was what the early church was known for. It was known for miraculous healings, manifestations of the Holy Spirit gifts. It was known for power, and people were in awe. So what kind of mighty works does the Spirit come and empower us to perform? First of all, the Spirit comes and empowers us to heal the sick. He comes to empower us to heal the sick. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And as they're walking up there, they see a lame man. This lame man was at the gate begging, and he had been there for years and years, evidently begging for money. And as he comes by and he begs for money from the apostles, they stop, and Peter looks at him. And Peter says, man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says Peter reached down and grabbed the man, pulled him up, and as the man was pulled up, strength came into his ankles, and a miracle happened. He was completely healed and able to walk. And not only that, he said he went leaping and praising God throughout the temple courts. A mighty miracle happened. This really became the first public miracle after the day of Pentecost. So God gives us power to heal the sick. And the miracles are shown here not just as a confirmation of the Word, but it also becomes an occasion for the Word. Because when that miracle happened, then Peter had the occasion and the opportunity to preach Jesus unto the crowd. Okay? So miracles are not just supplemental to our work of the gospel. Like, well, they happen once every 10 years or every now and then there's a great testimony. But I really believe miracles are instrumental to the work of the gospel. They become an avenue of salvation. People see miracles and it opens up their hearts. Acts chapter 2 verse 12. When all the crowd saw the apostles and heard them speaking in tongues after they were filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatsoever could this mean? It caused them to question. The question invited Peter to stand up and give the answer. So miracles are both instrumental and occasions for the gospel to be preached. Notice Acts chapter 8, when the crowds in Samaria heard Philip and saw the signs he performed. What signs? Healing the sick, casting out demons. They all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, Peter says to Aeneas, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. The Bible says immediately Aeneas got up. And then all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That miracle opened up a mighty opportunity for evangelism. Acts chapter 19, Bible says Paul did extraordinary miracles. God did them through him so that even the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Even when Paul is on the island, they're shipwrecked. He performs a miracle and a man is healed. And the Bible says, then the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So a miracle is a wonder. It's a sign, a healing miracle. It opens up the door for great testimony and gospel to be preached. I remember years ago, I was in Israel, in an Arab village in Israel. And I was with Dr. Elias Malki. And we were in the service and we were worshiping the Lord. It was so beautiful. All in the Arabic language, they were singing songs, Christian songs in Arabic language. And Dr. Malki preached in Arabic. But yet I saw this young man come in and sit not far from me in the seats. And his hair was gone and you could tell he had been a chemotherapy patient. And he came in on a walker. And my eye caught this young man. And then at one point during the meeting, my friend Dr. Malki came up to him and he said, son, God has healed you of your cancer. Go to the doctor and have it verified. And I heard that and I'm sitting there like, I'm like wrestling with my faith because I'm like, oh my gosh, Dr. Malki, I hope you're right, man. Well, nonetheless, that family, once they heard the words from the man of God, they went and threw a huge party for all of us. They had food laid out and they were celebrating what God had done that night and God had spoken through his servant. Later on, I came back to America and before church one Sunday morning, I received a call and it was from my friend Dr. Malki. And Dr. Malki said, Hans, I want you to go tell your congregation, those who know what happened and those who are with us in Israel, tell them that I received a phone call from Israel this morning and that young man that I had prayed for was completely healed and he went back to the doctor and there was not one sign of cancer left in his body. It became a great testimony to that crowd that night and to that town. When God does a miracle like that, it's to open the doors for the gospel to be preached. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Oh, hallelujah. Years ago, I was a student at Regent University, and I worked some with the folks at CBN, and they had a huge tent meeting at CBN, and they brought in evangelist Benny Hinn. And one night there was a lady who I had class with, and she was an older lady, and she had suffered with fibromyalgia for a great portion of her life. And she had gone to this hospital and this hospital to seek help, and she said, really, there was just no relief. It was excruciating pain. She said, but I went to that tent meeting that night and listened to Benny Hinn. And she said, as the place was worshiping and all the people were worshiping, she said, I had a vision. And I saw the Lord Jesus himself walking back and forth on the platform, enjoying the praises of the people. And then she said, he came down off the platform, walked up to me and looked at me and said, you've suffered long enough. And the lady was completely healed, verified, and later her testimony was played on TV. I'm telling you, it became a great open door to share the love and beauty of God with other folks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. And if you need a healing miracle in your life, why don't you just go ahead and raise your hand right now. Come on, raise your hand right now and say, God, have mercy on me and touch me right now. I claim your healing power for my life right now. I claim your healing power for my life right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Get in the chat line with me and give me some feedback here. Hallelujah. The second thing that God does in the realm of mighty works is he sends his Spirit to give us power to cast out demons. To give us power to cast out demons. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus walks into the synagogue and the Bible says there's a man there who cries out. And the demons cry out of him and saying, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus just says, be quiet and come out of him. The Bible says the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Casting out demons is a wonder and a sign. That shows that God has all authority in the earth realm and in all of the universe and all of the spirit realm. He has all authority, and now he's given that authority to us. He's given us the power of the Spirit to operate in that same authority. Hallelujah. Not long ago, I was preaching in a foreign country. And I was asked to go to we had a conference in one church, and I was asked to go to another church to hold a meeting on Sunday morning. So I went, someone drove me there, and I preached the gospel. At the end of preaching the gospel, a lady fell in the floor and started shaking and writhing in the floor uncontrollably. And I realized I'm dealing with the Spirit here. And so, I don't know, I just felt differently. I felt the authority of God on me that morning. And I walked up to that lady, and I didn't scream, I didn't yell. I just softly said, be quiet, be free in Jesus' name. And it was amazing that just a calm came over this lady, and I felt God just did an amazing work. Many times overseas, we see demons manifest, and in America, I never forget, I came back from overseas preaching, and you encounter demonic activity there, and I thought, wow, why don't we see this in America? And sure enough, the first Sunday back at church, the first Sunday after service, I spoke to someone after service, and as soon as I touched this person, they started manifesting demons, and we had to go into a deliverance prayer for them. But thank God, God has power over all of that stuff. He has power over every other power in the universe. He has power over every devil, over every demon. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. If you have Jesus in your heart, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the authority over all that stuff. Take the authority in your home. Pray over your kids. Pray over your spouse. Pray over your house. Pray over your property. Take the authority that God has given you. You know, I think our problem in the Western world is we've educated ourselves out of miracles sometimes. We've gotten to the point where we've bought into the Enlightenment theory and the Enlightenment philosophy that, you know, it's all science and it's all rationalism now, and there is no supernatural. There are no demons, there are no angels, there are no spirits. It's just a rationalism that we live in. I just want to encourage you, man, study the Bible. Go back to the early church's worldview. There was a professor named Charles Craft, and he was an anthropologist, and he was well-educated, and he went overseas. I think it was to Nigeria and became a missionary. And what Charles Charles Craft realized was that the worldview he had been educated in America, was different than the worldview in the developing countries. And then he realized the worldview of the developing countries is closer to the worldview of the Bible than the Western world. And he realized there are really demons. There are really miracles that happen. There are curses that people put on you. There's all of this stuff going on. And he came to America and he wrote a book called Christianity with Power. And he talks about how the church needs to get back to the power of God. And I'm a full believer in it. We need the authority of the Spirit's movement in our churches and in our lives. So I'm gonna end this whole thing by leading you into how do then we receive this power? Because many of you have accepted Christ, but you accepted Christ, and you believe in the Lord, and you love God, and you read the Bible, and you attend church, but you haven't received that power, and you know that there's something missing there, that you need more power in your life. You want more of God in your life. You love God, and you want everything you can get from God. Well, I'm going to give you three things here I want you to think about and I want you to act on and pray through, okay? First of all, you must realize that the Holy Spirit has already been given. The Holy Spirit has already been given. The Holy Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2 to the church. He was given in Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago to the church. Why do I say this? Because I think one of the biggest problems I see in people trying to receive the Spirit is that they think they have to earn it, or they have to grin really hard, or they have to sweat so much or scream so loud that they just have to kind of earn the Spirit. Like there are these merits you must achieve and check them off one by one. And then once you've achieved everything and you've become so perfect, then God's going to finally give the Holy Spirit to you. Well, I found out as I've pastored for years and as I've traveled the world preaching, I found out that that's just not the case. The Holy Spirit has already come. He has already come, okay? No, He's already here. Some say, well, maybe God doesn't want to fill me with the Spirit because I've never received it. That's the second thing I want to encourage you to do. I want you to know that the gift of the Spirit is for you. He's already come, and I want you to know that God has the Spirit for you. It's for you. And some argue against the Pentecostals and their experience by arguing from a basis of lack of experience. One famous preacher in America who's written several books against the Charismatics and Pentecostals basically said this: well, if that was true, if all that Spirit stuff and gifts were true, then why haven't I received it? And we thought, okay, you're arguing against our experience by your lack of experience. Okay, no, let's argue from the Word. God has already given the Spirit, and the Spirit is for you. Paul said, Ephesians, this is the will of God for you. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to know what the will of God is for you? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Believe it. Believe the Spirit is for you. And the final thing I want to encourage you to do is then I want you to yield to the Holy Spirit. Once you believe the Spirit is for you, then I want you to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to get quiet and you just need to be at peace. And you just need to realize, Holy Spirit, you are for me. Come into my life and give me the gifts and the power that I need in my life to help other people. Come, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. One man said years ago that if you see someone isn't receiving the Spirit and they have a difficulty praying through and working through this, it's usually one of two things that's going on. Number one, they don't believe. They don't believe the Spirit's for them. Or number two, they're not yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, I believe that's where a lot of people are. They're not yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. I heard a great, famous healing evangelist just say this recently. He said the problem with a lot of people receiving healing is they won't yield to it. They think they have to beg and fight their way through and do all these works where God just wants us to yield and receive the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just recently, the last Sunday night of January of this year, we had a prayer meeting and a worship service. We had been fasting for 21 days coming into this meeting. So when we walked into the meeting that night, it was like electricity was in the air, man. It was so powerful. I didn't pray necessarily. I didn't lay hands on anyone, I don't believe, that night. We didn't pray for people specifically. We just had general prayer from the platform and worshiped. At the end of the night, two people, I learned, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Others were healed. One boy came up to me who had just accepted Christ in his heart, and he was shaking under the power of God as everyone was exiting and going home. And I realized that night that we just need to come into His presence sometimes and just come into His presence and yield and let God do all that He wants to do in our lives. Several years ago, I was preaching a pastor's conference on the island of Cyprus for people coming from the Middle East, Christians from the Middle East. And at this particular conference, there was a whole group of Catholic Lebanese Christians who came. They were Maronite Catholics from Lebanon. And I thought, oh, wow, man, this is incredible. So a friend of mine taught on the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then he said, now we're going to pray for everyone. Here I'm in a room full of people, and the majority of them Catholic, and we're going to pray for them. And I'm thinking with my American mind, and that is, if I have a room full of people praying for the Holy Spirit, man, we're going to be here all day and all night. It's going to take a long time. But it was so beautiful what happened. My friend and I walked up and just started touching and praying gently for these Catholic Christians from Lebanon. And I don't know the number, but I think all of them received the baptism of the Spirit like that. It was absolutely amazing. And it showed me how beautiful God is and how much He loves people and how much He wants to pour out of His Spirit. And sometimes we've made it such a work thing. We've made it such an event-oriented thing that God wants to fill you right now. Matter of fact, we found a lot of people are more comfortable receiving the Spirit at home, because sometimes you get in church and you come to the altar and you got Sister Onion Breath next to you, so like, hold on. And then you got Sister Too Much Perfume on this side saying, let go. And you're like, what do I do? Do I hold on? Do I let go? Do I close my nose? What do I do? And you're just like so confused, man. And then you go home, and in your quiet, you can just get before God and say, Father, just fill me. That's what happened to me. I went home, and my church encouraged me, though, pray for the Spirit, be baptized in the Spirit, Hans, seek for God. And I went home, and when I got in the quiet of my home, I read Mark chapter 16, which said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. And I said, God, you said it right there. I'm a believer, and you said those who believe will be able to do these mighty works and will be able to speak with new tongues. So I yield myself to you, Lord. And that night, God came upon me, came in me, and I spoke in tongues for the first time in my life. And somebody says, oh, you're all hung up on tongues. No, I'm not. But let me tell you, when you get filled with the Spirit, you will speak with tongues. The whole heavenly language will come in and come out of you, because God's going to give that prayer language to all of His children who seek Him. Hallelujah. So come on, right now, why don't you just pray with me wherever you are? Why don't you just pray with me right now to receive the Spirit? Know that the Spirit's been given, and know that He is for you. Now I want you to just believe and yield to that right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you fill me with the Spirit right now. God, I open my heart and I extend my faith to you. And I ask you right now to fill me with your presence. Fill me with the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Come into me, Lord. I receive you, God, and I receive your goodness. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Now I want you to begin praising Him. I want you to begin praising Him. And as you praise Him, don't do it silently. Open up your mouth. Begin vocalizing words, and begin praising Him. And praise Him until that changes to the spiritual language. Praise Him until God gives you that prayer language. Hallelujah. 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 Maybe there's others watching me and you've never accepted Christ. That's the prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit. You must accept the Lord. And if you've never accepted the Lord into your life, I want to pray with you right now. Come on, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sin, and I believe you are the Lord, and I accept you into my heart. Jesus, come in and live in me. And I thank you that my sins are gone. And I thank you that I am saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, if you've prayed either of those prayers with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can respond online. We'd love to hear what's happening. Come on, I believe God has done some amazing stuff today. Okay? Go, be filled with the Spirit, and live in joy, and turn loose that love of God on some other people this week. Okay? We love y'all.